From the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is our scripture reading. May we recognize God's quiet voice in our reading and in our thinking and in our worshiping this morning. My friends, we have just read the passage of the ultimate in humility, humbling himself, becoming obedient even to the point of death. And of course that reminds us how different the attitude of Jesus was in comparison with our times, because just the opposite is true. We live in a world where people tend to puff themselves up, pretend that they are more important than they really are, and some people simply think too much of themselves. Someone said it so well, said, if we had our way, more of us would choose the front of the bus, the back of the church, and the center of attention. Another one said, swelled heads, it was a wise man, he said, swelled heads are nature's way of filling vacuums. And then there was the vain young woman who said, I wonder how many men will be miserable when I marry. Her friend replied, well, it all depends on how many of them you marry. Well, Jesus obviously never thought too much of himself. And today's Palm Sunday celebration is in response to the biblical story of the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. Now, some say that this was where the trouble really started. This was where the enemies of Jesus got their excuse to call him a rabble-rouser and to alert the Romans. He was an uproar maker because the people recognized him and waved their palms at him. My friends, truth is that Jesus really could call himself special if he wanted to. He could call himself great, but he never did. The Bible tells us that Jesus chose the way of the cross at a time when the people were ready to crown him king. And since then, all Christianity marked this strange procession into Jerusalem as the official beginning of the Passion of Jesus. So much so that this day is not only called Palm Sunday in the church calendar, it is also called Passion Sunday. Now Jesus and his disciples were entering Jerusalem for the last time before the crucifixion. Now I want you to understand that this was not a procession specially arranged for Jesus. To the contrary, most of the people who were there didn't even expect him. They didn't know that he was coming. They were simply part of the throngs of people on that day moving into Jerusalem ready to celebrate the Passover. So the waving of palms didn't begin in the time of Jesus. That's what they did that time of the year, every time when they went to celebrate the Passover. And they would at the same time sing their psalms and their songs of joy. Now, if you read in Psalm 118, you will see the wording of one of these psalms that they used to sing on their way into Jerusalem while they were waving their palms. What happened this day? Jesus was entering with his followers, and there was no idea of a big procession. They were joining in the hymns, they were singing, and they were on their way to Jerusalem, to the Passover. But then it happened, because Jesus got known in those days. Somebody recognized him, and maybe shouted, "Look, look, isn't that the man from Galilee? Isn't that the prophet that we heard some time ago up north? What's he doing here?" And another one recognized him and said, "Jesus, remember, Jesus, I'm so glad you came." And suddenly the word spread and the procession changed its nature. And suddenly people turned to Jesus riding on a donkey, and they started waving their palms no longer in the direction of the temple, but they were waving their palms at him. And they went further, they took some of their clothing and they laid it in his path so that the donkey could walk on that, and they threw some of their palms at his feet. So the procession changed. And now you can understand the anger. Even then, the elders of the church were looking at this spectacle. For them it was a spectacle. It was changing the procession. And they were hopping mad. And they thought, "We better be careful. This type of hero worship doesn't sit well with the Romans. They think this guy is going to make himself a king, and they're going to get not only him, they're going to get us as well." So don't think it was just a procession of joy. It was a procession of, to say the least, mixed feelings. We are here. For us, it's the beginning of Passion Week. And we are asking ourselves, who is this man? Who is this man really? I don't know about you, but I can truthfully say that there is no question in this world that ever kept me more busy since I was a high schooler, with the preposterous idea that I might one day maybe become a minister. It started with the question, who is this man? Who is he? So much has been said about him. There are so many contradictions. Who is he really? Friend, I can tell you a few things about him based on some of the oldest documents that exist. He was not a sissy. He was not that plastic-like Jesus that some of our artists depict him as during the centuries. Sweet little smile, just a few teeny-weeny little drops of blood, and oh, he's so serene, and no, you're wrong. He was accepted. He was admired even by the roughest of the rough, the fishermen. You know how they can cuss? He was accepted by them. Women, well, they followed him wherever he went. At that time, one could say he was maybe the most popular figure throughout Palestine. And when he spoke, whenever he spoke, a hush fell over the people. And they couldn't help but they had to listen. And they listened with him with delight. And to this day we tell and retell the stories that he told. And we do so with delight because it brings so much joy and inner satisfaction and peace to understand the meaning and the passion behind the words of Jesus. But it sounds great for us, acceptable. But no wonder the religious establishment responded with so much fear and hatred. There were many who were already to proclaim him as king. His popularity was already so great that even when they conspired against him, even when the decision was made that he was going to be arrested, they didn't dare to touch him. They didn't dare. Because they knew that the moment when he was arrested, there was going to be a riot as Jerusalem has never seen before. So what did they do? Cowards? They got one to betray him. Where is he at night? Where can I find him when there's not a crowd around? And that's what happened. They went in the darkness of night to arrest him. Yes, he was a real hero. And I believe that he is a man, if he lived in our days, who would get our vote today. Certainly, he was worthy. He was worthy of all the praise that he received. But come on now. Come on. We've known other heroes through the centuries. Let us recognize. Let us be honest. If he had only been a popular hero, his life would have been over and done with 2,000 years ago. His life would have no relevance whatsoever for you and me in our time. Because heroes come and heroes go. I know I grew up in a different country and I was taught about our heroes. And I can stand here and I can speak for hours about all the heroes that I hero worship when I was a kid, and you do not know the name, I believe, of even one of them. You might have heard Paul Kruger or Piet Retief or Dingaan or something. But heroes come and go. They are important for us for a little while and then they're gone. We forget them. Jesus was unique, and Paul is trying to tell us. And this is where the passions, where the passage to the Philippians get its deepest meaning. Paul was trying to explain to us how he understood what happened that made Jesus so special. Was he all that brave? No. Bible says no. He was as scared can be. We hear him pray, "My Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me." And then finally, in the agony of the night, and we're going to celebrate it this week, he yielded. He said, "Okay then, if there's no other way out, that's the way. I'll go the way of the cross." The people who honored him as a hero honored him because he brought light in their darkness. He changed their lives. He gave them new hope. He brought a message and he demonstrated and he illustrated with his life, even to the way of the cross, that they would remain free forever and ever. There are people in this church this morning who couldn't care two hoots about Jesus just a few years ago. But somehow the man of Nazareth crossed their way and they could never, never abandon the thought of him again. Amongst them those days who were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, were prostitutes, there were tax collectors, the disenfranchised, the poorest of the poor, people rejected by society, and that never ended. Amongst the followers of Jesus Christ, through two millenniums, are those who were desperate and in darkness, and they heard the message of hope, they heard the message of light, and their lives were changed, never to be the same again. There at the cross of Calvary, in those terrible week of passion, ending in a glorious Easter, lives were touched and changed. It never, never ended. There are still new beginnings at the foot of the cross. There will be people this week of passion, who will maybe for the first time open their eyes and realize who Jesus is. And lives will be touched, and lives will be changed. And I thank God that this sanctuary is no exception. That men and women sitting in this church this morning came to the realization who Jesus was in this sanctuary in years gone by. And since then, they have become the pillars of faith and the examples for us to follow. Yes, there are people here today too humble to stand up. But if you could, you would say, yes, my heart was broken. In Jesus, it was mended again. My household fell apart. In Jesus, my home was restored. My hand steadied, my life renewed. And this is why I'm here this morning, to wave my palm and to shout, Hosanna, Hosanna, He is my Savior. For us, Jesus is not a hero. For us, Jesus is not one or other film character. For us, He is the one who reached out to us when we had nothing to offer, and who changed us, and who gave us new life, who gave us new meaning, and put us on the road to joy. Ask us, who is this man? We call him Jesus. We call him the Prince of Peace. We shout, Hosanna. We wave our palms, because we know if it was not for what happened on the green hill outside Jerusalem long ago, you and I would not be here today. Even in Palm Sunday, we already see the rising sun. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. You ask me how I know He lives? He lives within my heart. May God bless you. May God keep you. May this week be the greatest week of passion ever. And may we arrive on Easter Sunday with life renewed and hope restored. Because Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Amen.